Latest from the WFAS Weather Center. The following is a paid program. The opinions expressed are solely those of the sponsor and not necessarily those of WFAS or its advertisers.
Peace of mind with Lippman Gross.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney. I'm your host, Bernie Crooks, from the law firm Lippman Crooks. And we're based right here in White Plains. We've also got offices in Dutchess County and Fishkill, New York, and in the Big Apple, New York City. Or, of course, you can visit us online at LippmanCrooks.com. Our show is heard every Thursday evening from 6:05 to 6:35 p.m. right here on WFAS AM 1230. And tonight, our guest is Gene Mizutani from Resources for Children with Special Needs. Gene, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
It is great to have you on the show. And each week we have a guest who focuses on helping kids with disabilities or someone in the senior or elder population. And it's always a pleasure to learn what great resources we have out there. So tell us, what is Resources for Children with Special Needs, and what services do you guys offer?
Sure. Resources for Children with Special Needs is a parent training and information center. There are a little more than 100 nationwide, and our area is New York City. It's New York City families that we serve. So let me tell you a little bit about it. Our age range is actually from birth to 26. That means we can work with a family, a professional, anyone who has a child with a disability or even suspects disability from birth all the way up through age 26. That's really terrific because it gives us a chance to influence the transition years from high school to adult life. And as I'm sure you're aware, that is a big deal.
Transition in and of itself could be the subject of a whole season of shows.
It sure could.
One of the interesting things about being a parent of a child with special needs is there's no guidebook really on how to navigate the system. Having the experience you have, it probably comes second nature. But what do you see as the biggest challenges for people in navigating the system?
Well, they all come to it from a different place. I mean, parents come to disability in different ways. You know, it may be that they have a newborn baby and they immediately recognize there's a disability, or it could be an illness that occurs later or even an accident. So it happens to you very suddenly. You've been transferred from normal to something else. And what are you going to do? There really needs to be a central source of information where you can pick up the phone. And it's not, I want to point out that Resources for Children is not disability specific, so it really wouldn't matter what your concern was or what you suspected. If you believe you have a child that may have special needs, that would be the first call to make if you're a New York City family.
Now, as you point out, it's not necessarily something that a child could be born with. In fact, in many developmental-type disabilities or spectrum disorders, it's not for several years that it's either diagnosed or recognized, right?
That's right.
So it could be the child is, or at least the parents are perceiving things as going along the way they ought to be going along, as with a typical child, and then all of a sudden the world's turned upside down.
It may be like that.
And so how does RCSN help?
Well, the parent picks up the phone, and the funny thing is sometimes the parent isn't really clear what they're asking because the questions are even too large to formulate. So in conversation, we might eventually discern that they are looking for assistance with an education system, maybe EI, early intervention, or preschool services. It may be a school age issue. It may be nothing to do with education. It may be therapies. It may be treatments. It could be equipment. People have questions about Medicaid, about wheelchairs. It could be recreation. It could be summer camp. One of the things that we do that we're very proud of is we've been holding a special camp fair every year for over 20 years. We usually get about 3,000 to 4,000 visitors. It's quite an event, and we publish a special camp guide. This is not to say that many special needs children can't be in typical programs, but this is an area of which we're very proud, and we've, you know, developed quite a reputation. So it's one of the most popular calls we get at Resources, summer recreation.
Now, would this be a sleepaway camp or day camp?
It could be any of them. This is just it. When a parent calls, we ask these questions and we give them the information that best suits what they're looking for.
So you have relationships with the various people and entities that run the summer camps?
We do have relationships, but beyond that, we have knowledge. I mean, you couldn't specifically and personally know every single camp and program out there. But because we've been doing this for such a long time, when we put out the word that we'd like special camp directors, for example, to come and actually set up shop at our camp fair so that they can interact directly with parents and children, they come. I mean, that's one of the fun things, where they can actually see the child and interact. And for the parents that can't come, you know, it's always wonderful if they can be there in person. But if not, they can get our summer camp directory, and they can call and they can ask more questions.
That really sounds like a great service for the parents. Gives them options.
It is. We think that kids should be able to participate in every area, regardless of disability.
Gotta have fun.
Of course we gotta have fun.
All right, so you mentioned, in addition to camp, you mentioned recreational activities. That would be during the school year?
It could be. It could be after school. It could be weekend. It could be information about respite. The way our office is organized is we have specialists that handle different areas. So we have a community resources specialist, and that is Mr. Summer Camp Fair. So he would be the one, for example, if a person is looking for anything that's not educationally related, anything that's not education-based. So it could be after school, respite, summer camp. That's very popular. But we have the education advocates, and we have people that specialize and focus on different areas. I mentioned transition to adult life before. We have a whole workshop series, which, we cover just about everything. But the one I'm thinking about right now is called After High School. You know, all of a sudden the school bus is not stopping here anymore. And, you know, it's actually an enormous workshop in terms of content, because you're really talking about everything that adult life encompasses once you leave the safety of school. We have specialists that focus on the younger children. We're very fortunate that we have somebody with incredible, deep, and comprehensive knowledge of the entire early childhood system. That's my wonderful colleague, Nina Lublin. And as time has gone on, people have delved more into areas that are of interest to them. I, for example, saw that there was a real gap between preschool and kindergarten entry. So about 4 years ago, I created a workshop called Turning Five, and we helped the parents over those little hurdles getting from preschool into kindergarten. That has been very challenging, and that has been very rewarding. We have another one called Preparing for High School for Children with Disabilities, because they have to go through the application process, for the most part, the same as typical children do.
Now, the children you deal with and assist, are these kids with mental disabilities, physical, or both?
Any, all, what have you. We are not disability specific.
So it wouldn't necessarily be an organization that would only assist people with autism or any type of...
Nope, we're not. This is one of the things that makes us special. Our data, our assistance, is for any child that has a disability. And mind you, we assist families that are only suspecting.
Right. So
it
mom
might be
is
the
saying,
very first step.
My kid's not learning as well as she ought to be in school, but hasn't
That's
been
right.
diagnosed or classified with an IEP. That would still be somebody you could help.
Absolutely. And you just set up a perfect scenario, because this is what happens. A parent doesn't always know what to ask. When they get on the phone with the specialist, we draw information out of them, and it's only a matter of time before we're able to help them put the situation in context, know what their next step is. You know, when you say that Resources for Children provides information, that doesn't go far enough, because it doesn't capture the one-on-one relationship, the parent coaching that goes on. These relationships can be very long-lasting. I mean, this may result in an evaluation that may lead to an IEP meeting, and that parent will keep calling back because, you know, their needs are different as they go further trying to get help for their child. And it's actual rehearsal for meetings, preparation for meetings, know the lingo, know the jargon, rehearse in safety, know how to describe your child, their strengths and their needs, so that when you're at the meeting you can participate easily, effectively. That's one of the many things we do.
I'm speaking with Jean Mizutani, Resources for Children with Special Needs, and we're talking about the very important role that Resources for Children with Special Needs plays. And I guess, Jean, I'm wondering, why is it so important that Resources for Children with Special Needs fill this role? Is there that big a gap in the system?
Well, Resources has been around for quite a long time. It's been over 27 years, and I would say that there was a humongous gap then. Now, as the years have passed, disability-specific organizations started popping up, the Learning Disabilities Association, Autism Speaks, things like that. Still, there are very few organizations that deal with any and all disabilities from birth through 26. That's why we continue to be special. And as times have changed, we've changed with the times. There was a time about 10 years ago that we published books, directories. We still publish the special camp guide, but now we do everything on the web. We have a wonderful, marvelous website that I'd like to share with you, if that's okay.
Sure.
It's www.resources, with an S, resources, NYC, that's all one word, .org. Our training materials, blogs, updates, news, just about anything which is happening and current is on there.
Now, you mentioned earlier that this is a training center for parents. So is it parent and family focused, or is it the focus on the child with the special needs?
It's family focused, and naturally that includes the child.
So when you look at a particular case or situation, all involved parties play a role.
Absolutely.
So how does it work? When somebody hears of you, take us through the process. A mother or a parent calls up. What happens after that?
Well, it's really very simple. They usually don't know what to ask for, as I mentioned before. So they'll just say a couple of lines, and the person on the other end may say, "Is this an education issue? Is this about school? Is this a recreation issue?" Sometimes there's many issues, so it's not unheard of that we check off several different things. That means that parent will speak to several different professionals with different areas of expertise. We ask some basic questions. It's just routine information, which is confidential. We're independent. We're a small not-for-profit agency, so our information is not shared with anyone else. Once they've done that basic intake, a specialist in the area of their need will call back, either discuss it with them to answer their questions, send information by mail. Sometimes it's in person. We make them aware of our training series if they'd like to attend a workshop. There's many different ways we can work with families.
Is there a visit, a site visit that's done? Does someone go out to the household?
No, we don't.
So then how do you get your arms around the type of family and child that you might be dealing with?
We can do that. It does take time, and it takes experience. It takes a lot of experience to ask the right questions and to take the time. It's really very time-consuming because, you know, disability can affect anyone across any socioeconomic, you know, strata. So it takes a lot of time, and I have to say that when there are language barriers, sometimes the parent also has a disability. That's another issue. It may take quite a bit of attention, but eventually we tease it out and we set them on their path.
I'm Bernie Crooks, host of Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney. Our guest this week is Jean Mizutani from Resources for Children with Special Needs. We're going to take a short break and we'll be right back.
All his life, little Stevie has been special. When he grows up, he probably won't be able to live on his own or work to support himself. Stevie's parents already worry about what will become of their sweet boy after they're gone. Kim was a corporate executive until a drunk driver ended her career and nearly her life. Now she has a traumatic brain injury, a sizable settlement, but no clear plan for the future. Stevie and Kim could each use a special needs trust to secure their finances, care, and maximum independence while letting them keep their public benefits such as SSI and Medicaid. Who can set up a special needs trust? The law firm of Littman Crooks, members of the Special Needs Alliance, a national network of disability and public benefits lawyers. If you or someone you love has special needs, greater peace of mind is just a phone call away. Call Littman Crooks today, 684-2100, or visit littmancrooks.com. Because special people need special plans.
Peace of mind with Littman Crooks.
Welcome back to Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney. I'm Bernie Crooks from the law firm Litton & Crooks. Our guest this week is Jean Mizutani from Resources for Children with Special Needs. And Jean, we've been talking about some of the wonderful services your organization provides, such as assisting families with recreational activities, summer camp, therapies and equipment. But I guess for most parents, the most important thing is that their child get an appropriate education. And you mentioned earlier that one of the services you provide is assisting families with education advocacy. Tell us how that works.
Well, I described earlier how a phone call starts, but it doesn't always go according to plan because things have changed tremendously. There are wholesale changes in the works right now. And part of what we do after learning about the child and coming up with a tentative goal for that child is inform the parent about changes to the system, the reform of special education, and other things that are not only happening in New York City, which we focus on, but nationally.
So tell us about some of those changes.
Well, the goal now focuses on inclusion and improving outcomes. So outcomes would mean more high school graduations, for example, for students with disabilities. Actually, this is across the board, all students. That's the beginning point. And there are a lot of wonderful possibilities involved in this, but there are also some real risks for the time being. This is where the advocacy comes in.
What does it mean when they say there's a merger between the special education and the general education?
That is the goal, to integrate special education and general ed. I just want to step back a minute on that question because I don't know how many IEPs, that's individualized education plans, that I've read over the years that were beautiful, that were gorgeous, that would have worked, that should have worked if they were ever implemented. The reason they were not implemented many of the times is that if a team was creative enough to think outside of the box and come up with an individualized plan that would really work for a specific child in a less restrictive setting, the school would say, we don't have that. We can't meet your child's needs. And this would lead to referrals to more restrictive settings. So let's back up a minute. What if the local schools had those services and supports? What if they could think outside of the box? What if they could create an individualized IEP specifically designed to meet that child's needs and support them in the least restrictive environment? What if that could happen? That'd be pretty marvelous.
But isn't that what the law is?
Yes, it is. But it hasn't happened, especially in New York City.
So your role in this, or your organization's role, is to assist families in making sure, or one of your roles is assisting families in making sure that the IEP is actually implemented the way it's supposed to be?
Well, that's only part of it. I like to start earlier on because I might have a family calling today saying, my child hasn't done too well in school. He's on the autistic spectrum and he's in a community school. He's okay academically, but socially he has a lot of problems. He's very awkward socially, and I've tried to get play therapy, for example, social skills therapy, and they say, we don't have that. We only have routine counseling. Little flies in the ointment like that can make a big difference between success and failure. And I might be the one to tell them that things are changing, that because of a new flexibility that the Department of Education is going to try to embrace, things like that should no longer be relegated to schools where they educate the most severely disabled students. This should be available anywhere.
So what you're suggesting, if I'm hearing you correctly, is that some of these related services, the school districts are using them as an excuse to say we can't take care of your child because we don't provide that service, and then therefore he or she needs to go to this other school, which might not necessarily be the least restrictive environment.
That is absolutely right. I mean, I've also had kids with PDD that can benefit from inclusion in a community school environment, but what if it's a turning five kindergarten age child and that child isn't completely potty trained, for example? What do you do? In the past, that child would have to go into the much more restrictive setting because they had toileting powers and other assistance of that nature there. There's no reason that can't be available anywhere, everywhere.
All right, so it seems to me like it's really critical that we have better and more parent training.
That's right.
Tell us a little bit about that. How are we going to accomplish that?
Well, that's right. It's partly through our one-on-one assistance. It's partly through our workshop series. It's partly through the web. You know, my colleague Hilda laughs at me because she hears me saying things like the days of passive parenting are over. But I really believe that because I've noticed that parents of special needs kids sometimes become very passive, waiting for the meeting, waiting for the recommendation, waiting for the offered placement. They're not proactive at all. They're just waiting, waiting, waiting. Those parents will be locked out. They will be shut out, and they will miss out on a lot of opportunity. I mean, a great example of that is just last week the legislature passed a bill which will increase the number of charter schools, and at the same time it will require charter schools to have the same percentage of children with disabilities within them as the public school system does. Now, I think this is worth knowing. I think this is information worth sharing. You may have a child with a disability, and you may have thought, oh, gosh, even though it's lottery and my child might get in, I really don't want to apply to a charter school because what if they don't have the services? Well, let's turn that around. What if they do? It's another option. So I think parents really need to be proactive and go out there, all parents, parents of typically developing children and special needs children.
Do you think one of the reasons, Jean, why parents might not be proactive is maybe, especially in New York City, maybe many of them feel like the deck is stacked against them. The school district is experienced in these matters. It's tough enough being a parent of a typical child. The school district has lawyers at their disposal. Is that part of the reason, you think?
They absolutely do feel like that, but I honestly think that the system is ripe for change. I mean, one of the things that we do in another project that we operate, which is the Bronx and Manhattan Special Education Parent Centers, is we try to help parents learn to build partnerships with the school to prevent disputes, to resolve disputes quickly, to build relationships with them so that when they're at meetings, when they're discussing their child's educational plans, they have a greater chance of influencing the outcome. It's a wonderful time saver. You know, I would like to just turn around all of the old thinking. An example of the old thinking would be, if I don't like what they're doing, I can fight it, right? Yes, you can fight it, but it takes a lot of time. Wouldn't it be so much better to go there prepared, have an idea what you want, know how to express it, and influence the outcome of that meeting? Now, how great would that be? Parents that are successful at times like that become more involved, become more engaged. That's actually our goal.
Good advice from Jean Mizutani from Resources for Children with Special Needs. I'm Bernie Crooks, host of Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back.
I can't believe we're packing all this up. Is the storage space big enough?
Mom will just sell what doesn't fit.
We can't tell Dad we sold a house. It'll make things worse.
There must have been another way to pay for his care.
She said they talked about a plan, but once he had the stroke, it was too late.
Well, they're going to move him to a new facility.
Mom, that's over an hour away.
There's nothing I can do. I'll find an apartment. Maybe I'll get a job.
A job?
I have no choice. Dad can't be left alone.
Peace of mind with Lipman Cruz.
Nobody knows what the future holds, so make sure your assets and loved ones are protected. Elder Law addresses the quality of life needs of people over 50, including long-term care, estate planning, and special needs trusts. Plan for your future. Call Lipman Crooks today or learn more at LipmanCrooks.com.
Lipman Crooks, protecting your loved ones and your life savings. Call 684-2100.
Peace of mind with Lipman Crooks.
That's LipmanCrooks.com or call 684-2100.
Welcome back to Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney. I'm Bernie Crooks from the law firm Lipman Crooks. Please check out our community events calendar at LipmanCrooks.com where you can see where our firm is participating in various events throughout the local community, or where you can sign up to be participating in some of our seminars where we provide valuable legal information on special education advocacy, special needs planning, and elder law. Tonight our guest is Jean Mizutani from Resources for Children with Special Needs. And during the show we've been talking about some of the wonderful services our organization provides. And you mentioned, Jean, that you're a not-for-profit. So these services that are being provided, is there any fee?
Never.
So how do you provide the services if there's no fee income?
We look for projects that are in keeping with our mission, anything which is child-serving. If it's something that we're interested in, we go for that. So this might mean that we have funded projects. The Parent Training and Information Center that I mentioned before is federally funded. and the Bronx and Manhattan Special Education Parent Centers are state-funded. That's a portion of our money. We also do fundraising, and in the past we had our publications, so we have other ways that we can raise some money. We're expecting a big blowout this fall, and we hope that'll be successful bringing in some funds.
Now, are you concerned at all, or has there been any concern over the years that with the budget cuts due to come out of Albany that that might affect you?
Well, I think everyone's concerned, and rightfully so, about that. But somehow, I mean, there are so many child-serving organizations that we participate with. I think we'll be all right.
All right, so that's good that we're not expecting it to have a detrimental effect on the good work you're doing.
Well, we have to be honest here. I mean, all of the parent training information centers nationwide do a lot with little. We're well-versed at doing a lot with little because the funding has not been generous. So it's good and it's bad. On one hand, you can worry about funding being cut. On the other hand, because it's only a portion of our total income, we're not totally dependent on it. We're very creative, very flexible. The fact that we've been able to stay open for 27 years, honestly, the original founders deserve medals for this.
I would agree with that. One of the things you mentioned was that you serve kids up till age 26, right? So let's assume that person graduates from high school and transitions into adulthood. Do you help find employment?
No, we don't help find employment. We help set them on the track. See, different kids should pursue different things. Some kids might go on to higher education, some might go to vocational, some that might have more severe disabilities might be put in contact with the Office of Mental Retardation and Developmental Disability. There's a lot of things that have to happen starting about age, well, I was going to say 16, but actually the earlier the better. You should really start at 14, working up toward that.
So starting at 14, the parents need to start thinking about transition planning.
They absolutely should.
And if it's done properly, I presume that you've been part of many success stories.
Yes, it is challenging, though, I have to tell you. It is challenging. One of the reasons that I'm excited to see if this reform can be successful is that I would like to see more students with disabilities getting real high school diplomas, not IEP certificates. I'd like to see them leaving school with that document in hand. This kind of planning starts very early. It starts way before 14, actually.
So even if the diploma is not received at age 18, it's...
Oh, no problem. All children can stay in school till they're 21, even those that are non-disabled.
That would require, to get that type of diploma, the child would have to be in a mainstream school.
Not necessarily, no.
So it's possible to get a typical high school diploma if the child is in a IEP or a special education program?
Well, sure, because it all depends. You know, the bottom line is the kid is going to have to pass the tests and earn the credits. And if the family is on board early on, looking over the IEP and what has been achieved every year, tweaking it, making adjustments when there are areas of need, you know, you count up your credits and tests and you see how close you are. Now, there will be some children that are not academically competitive. This isn't for all, but it shouldn't be assumed early on that they're not academically competitive. I mean, every possible effort should be made to see if they can go down that path.
That's good to know, and that is certainly a noble goal, a high school diploma for all. Our guest this week is Jean Mizutani from Resources for Children with Special Needs. We've got to take one more short break, and we'll be right back to wrap up.
Sometimes we're presented with questions that are difficult to face.
Mommy, I don't like my scary dreams.
I know, but Mommy will always be here to make them go away.
But Mommy?
Yes, dear?
Who will make them go away if you die?
Unless we have effective answers to these questions, the results can be financially and emotionally devastating. Littman Crooks provides legal expertise for special needs trusts and estate planning so your loved ones will always be taken care of. For persons with disabilities, a special needs trust can enhance their quality of life while maintaining their public benefits. As a member of the Special Needs Alliance, we design wills, trusts, powers of attorney, and health care directives tailored to your family's situation. Plan for the future today. Call Littman Crooks or visit littmancrooks.com.
Littman Crooks, protecting your loved ones and your life savings. Call 684-2100.
Peace of mind with Littman Crooks.
That's littmancrooks.com or call 684-2100.
Welcome back to the show. I'm Bernie Crooks, host of Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney. Our guest has been Jean Mizutani from Resources for Children with Special Needs. Jean, put yourself in the seat of a parent who's facing these issues. You have a lot of experience. What advice can you give them?
Keep informed. Keep involved. Even as the kids get older, keep involved. That is the key.
So the key is an actively involved parent and having the knowledge.
That is right.
Well, we want to thank you for being on the show. Jean Mizutani from Resources for Children with Special Needs. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me, Bernie.
I'm Bernie Crooks, host of Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney. We'll see everyone next week. Good night.
Good night.
The soundtrack for your day. Westchester's soft favorites. AM 1230. WAAA.